Welcome to the Society Podcast, brought to you by The Last Lions, where we feature stories of men seeking to impact society for the better. On today's show, we have with us Abel Mendez. Abel is the Michigan ambassador with Save a Warrior, an organization that works with veterans, active duty personnel, and first responders. As a veteran who served in the Iraq War, Abel tells his story of how Save a Warrior helped save his life, how he became involved with the organization, and the great work that Save a Warrior is doing for those who are at the end of the line. Abel Mendez, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So you are the Michigan ambassador with Save a Warrior.
Yes.
And could you just tell me about Save a Warrior and what you do, what Save a Warrior does for veterans?
Yeah. So Save a Warrior is a 72-hour intensive program that deals with complex PTSD for veterans and first responders. It's a program where we bring the veterans and first responders in, and we teach them how to be with what they're going through, right? And to lead them on a path of healing by doing many different things.
Yeah. Can you speak to some of those things that Save a Warrior does that sets it apart from maybe your typical intervention or recovery program?
So the difference, I think, for me, it was being able to heal with my fellow veterans and my fellow first responders and veterans. So I wasn't doing it alone. I had a group of men that were like me, right?
Yeah.
That were what I felt was broken, right? And what I felt was damaged. Mm. So I didn't have to go through that alone. I had, for me at that time, it was a week-long intensive. So I spent 5 days with men that had gone through the same things that I had, that had seen the same things that I had. And knowing that those men had similar experiences and I wasn't alone made it easier for me to get that out, right? And to air that out and to heal because I wasn't alone, right? I wasn't scared of letting that out.
Yeah, it's really important, I think, for anyone in their healing journey and recovering from some kind of past trauma or addiction to connect with other people. I mean, this is foundational. You look at a 12-step group, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do it alone.
That's what sets that apart, right? Because when you're as a service member, you know, we're taught tough it up, you know, charge on and keep going, right? There's no time for weakness, right? Mm. Or being hurt, right? We just got to charge on.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And when we get back, we think we have to, at least I did. I thought that I had to take that on alone. And that's why nothing worked for me, was because I was alone.
Right.
It wasn't until I found this program and I found this community, I knew, I figured out I didn't have to heal alone. I wasn't alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that really makes the difference. I think there are so many people who try to go alone in their journey of healing. Why do you think community is so important to help people? And you can speak to your situation here with Save a Warrior to help veterans really start to connect with themselves, with that part of them that needs help.
For me, it was being accepted, right? I wasn't thought of as like an outcast, right? These men and women in Save a Warrior, they accept me for who I am, for everything, right? And so that acceptance, that community of acceptance is huge, because I know that no matter what I've done or what I did or what I do, that community is going to love me regardless.
Yeah.
So that love is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you just share with us what brought you to Save a Warrior. What is your story and how you heard of Save a Warrior and started to find healing through your involvement with them?
So I heard about Save a Warrior through a friend. When I got back from Iraq, I was working in a factory, and I dealt with my PTSD and everything by working 70, 80 hours a week. So I didn't have to really think about it, right? I was working, I was with my family, and then it was just not there. 15 years into the job, I lost my job. I had made a decision that wasn't, for lack of a better word, a good one, I guess. I don't know. I did what was right and justified, but it cost me my job. And that's when I started spiraling. I was an alcoholic. I was abusing pain meds, narcotics, all kinds of anything I could get my hands on. Lost my job, attempted suicide. One of my friends called and was like, hey, there's this place that I hear is legitimate. Because I've tried everything. I've tried pills. I've tried counseling. I've tried, you know, and all those helped, right? They kept me alive and they have their place. You know, I'm not knocking any of that stuff because it does help. But I didn't find the healing I did with this. And so at my lowest point, I submitted my application for Save a Warrior and was accepted and went there. And that was kind of my story. At my lowest point, when I had attempted suicide, I realized that I couldn't do it alone. That I needed more help than I was getting. And that's when it all happened for me. And that's when I started healing.
Yeah. So you're at the lowest point. Your friend tells you about Save a Warrior.
Right.
What's going on in your head at this point? Like, is there any kind of resistance? Is there like, oh, well, I don't have anything to lose?
I didn't have anything to lose at that point. Right. I was on my way to getting divorced, and I'd lost my job, you know, and that was like the last house on the block, right? If this wasn't going to work, then that was it. And that's what I told my friend, like, I just can't do this anymore, right? If this doesn't work, I'm done, right? I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. What was the experience like when you first went there? Like, can you just maybe just kind of set it up? Like, what did you do? What was going on when you first showed up?
Well, when I first showed up, I looked at my buddy and I was like, hey, you know, we could drive away and just spend a week on the road and drink and just nobody would ever know, right? Yeah. Like, we don't have to go in there. And we went in. And it was very weird for me because the men in there were, well, the first thing I noticed is they were hugging each other. And I didn't like to be touched, right? And I was like, I hope nobody tries to hug me because we're gonna have an issue, right? There was, when I walked into that room and they were hugging and there were, and I was watching everybody, the peace that these men had, and the love that they had for each other, it put me at ease, right? And although I was really scared and I was really hesitant because, you know, I had tried everything. I had been in treatment for years, you know, and nothing worked. But for some reason, when I went into that room and those men were in there and they were hugging and they were talking and they were laughing and they were joking, and it wasn't just one. You know, there was at least six. And they were all that way. I wanted.
Yeah. Were you able to kind of open up was it a week?
Yeah, it was a week when I went through. Now it's 72 hours.
Yeah. So was it like at first you're, you know, a little scared, a little, I don't know what's going on. Kind of by the end of the week, were you able to?
I was very hesitant at the beginning, right? Like, just feeling everything out, listening to everybody, not saying anything. And, you know, that first night was hard. Like, I wanted to leave. Like, no, nobody wants to deal with their stuff, right? Like, yeah. I just I didn't want to because I was scared to open that box again. But in staying in the things we talked about, the mentoring that I got from my shepherds that were there, and shepherds are the ones that kind of, they're like peer support people there that we can talk to and we can lean on when we need a minute or whatever, you know. The love I got from those men and the things that we talked about and the things that we did, because we did, at that point, we did all kinds of like, just like team building things to ease things along, right? To open up. And then we started talking about, you know, our issues and our, what we call the thing under the thing, right? Because for me, I was so angry and I was so hurt. And I didn't really know the why, right?
Yeah.
I just knew I was just upset. Mm-hmm. So in being there, I was able to work through the why and lean on these men and be vulnerable and to be able to open up and share. Because in the experience, we got to share a lot of our unshareables, you know, the things that we thought we'd take to our graves with us.
Right.
We shared those with these men, right? And nobody judged us. And nobody looked down at us. And that was the first time I had felt heard years since I had been back. And through the week, you know, I went from I'm damaged, I'm hurt, I'm messed up, and feeling alone. And it really helped me feel accepted. And it showed me everything I'd been through. It was just what happened, right? It's just what happened. It's not who I am. It's not who I have to be. I just have to be okay with that, right? Because it just happened.
Yeah. So you're starting to face some of these things and be open.
Right.
About your pain, about, you know, things that you had never shared, right?
Right.
How were you able to move forward from that point? Because the experience is necessary of, right, of going on this week or, you know, 72 hours now, but it doesn't end there, right? Like,
right.
You have to go back to daily life.
Yep. And then that was the hard part, right? Because yeah. You know, when you leave Save a Warrior, it's like getting catapulted off of an aircraft carrier, right? You're flying high, right? You're going up, right? And then the reality of coming home and the reality of just life, it's hard.
Yeah.
Right. And the work doesn't stop once you leave there. They give us these tools. We do what's called warrior meditation and my daily practices, daily meditations. There's books that we read to further your healing, right? There's all kinds of books that we read. There's all kinds of communication we have through the website. There's courses that we can take. There's a few groups that meet nightly that you can talk to people and do the work with. So yeah. None of this has to be done alone. It can be, and you can do it alone. But after to the Save a Warrior, it's you figure out like that group is what keeps you healing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're still connected with the group after yes. that. Yeah. Even if it's not an in-person group, you know, even if you're right, these might be guys from around the country.
Yep. Around the world. So I try to go down there and do what's called shepherding twice a year. Where I go and give back and I do what the shepherds did for me and be that ear that they need to hear, right? That love that they need to get, that person that's just there. Also, too, I help men go through some of the workbooks that we have and just be here. Right? When somebody calls, I pick up that phone like, hey, what's going on? You know, and, you know, I try to stay active as much as I can.
Yeah, you touched on something earlier there, I think is really important. And I found this to be true for myself as I've had to face some of the wounds from my past, some of the traumas I've been through. And that's the daily work. You mentioned that there's these disciplines, these exercises, connecting with people that you have to do every day. Can you talk more about the importance of that? Because I think that's pretty key.
It's like everything. You know, you got to take care of your body. Those people go to the gym every day, right? And they take care of their body. Our minds are the same way. You know, if we don't challenge our mind, if we don't heal our mind, if we don't work our minds to change the mindsets that we have, then we have those issues. And as long as I do those daily practices, I keep my mind from the negative things, right? Because it's just what happened. So if I can put my mind in a good spot, in a nice, clean, healing way, and meditate and do the healing and doing my readings, it allows me to focus on the now, right? And not the past or the future. I try to do it day by day, right? Try to be present in this day.
Yeah.
Try to be the best I can be today.
Yeah. I think you mentioned meditation. Some people, I think, are put off by that word.
I was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you speak more about just meditation and what that looks like for you?
For a lot of us, we don't take that time for ourselves. Like a lot of us don't, we have kids, we have jobs, we have family. Meditation is the 20 minutes that I take for myself every day to where there's no interruptions and I just can be with myself. Right. And I do it twice a day. It's my time to where I can breathe and think and just be with myself and be with those thoughts. And just that's part of the thing, is being able to take that time for yourself. Even though it's only 20 minutes, your body and your mind can change in just those 20 minutes a day by giving yourself that love and attention that a lot of us don't.
Yeah. It's really hard, isn't it, to be still, to be silent. I mean, everything in our society gives the opposite message. What for someone who just like wants to start, maybe it's like, all right, you know, they've heard about meditation from different people, different sources, and they're like, but they just don't know how to start on that journey, how to get going. What would you recommend?
I would recommend just starting. The hardest part is taking that first step, right? It's the doing it. I did not know how to do it, and I couldn't do it for the longest time. And I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And now it's a routine, right? It's a way of being. And you just have to do it, right? It's gonna be different every time. And it's going to be different at first. It's going to be weird because it's not something we're used to. It's you know, I wasn't at first. I was like, meditate. I'm not going to do that, right? Like, yeah, I'm a Marine. We don't meditate. You know, we kill things. You know what I mean? It's like, that's just what we do. Right? So there was that stigma. And then once I did it, and even though it didn't feel like I did it right the first time, the feeling of peace that I had in my body and in my mind, and it kept me wanting more, and it still keeps me wanting more. So it's just, the answer to that would just be, just do it.
Yeah.
It's like anything.
So I know that Save a Warrior, one of the things it talks about is complex PTSD. I think I have that right. Can you talk more about, because I think a lot of people have heard PTSD, they don't know exactly what it is. Complex PTSD, I think, is new to a lot of people.
Right. So complex PTSD is, I'm just going to kind of read what I have here, but it's the chronic inner persistent exposure to trauma. Right. So it's like, you know, being in the service, right? We are going in and out of wartime, or you're consistently under the duress of feeling like something's going to happen, right? And mm-hmm. and the more times you to a combat situation is just part of the way it is. Just like a firefighter, right? Every day they're saving somebody, they're putting out a fire. It's consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Where PTSD is just one occurrence, right? And that's the difference. Is the one time, is the one thing that happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that happened once. Complex PTSD is where it's consistently, you know, it's there.
It's difficult, right? Because I'm sure there are some who have served, they come back from war, and they may feel all right. Like mm-hmm. they're doing okay. You know, they're not really triggered by things. They don't sense any trauma that, you know, that has affected them. And they may reintegrate into society well and be successful. And then there are those who they, upon returning, they're at the point of killing themselves.
Right.
Why do you think there's that difference there? That, I mean, we're complex beings, but mm-hmm. I think that's what the complex PTSD gets. Like, some people, their first trauma, like veterans who have come back, their first trauma is not war, necessarily. They're already coming in with trauma.
Right, right, yeah. So, war is what makes it worse, right? Yeah. The thing under the thing, see, our trauma starts from early childhood, right?
Yeah.
And until we can, and then it just gets blown up, per se, when we deal with this big trauma, right?
Right.
And because we haven't dealt with our early childhood trauma, you know, it just builds up, and then it explodes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where you see either a suicide or something ugly, whatever the case may be. And then that's when it's dealt with, right? And that's part of what Saber Warrior does. It takes you through those early childhood experiences, right? Because that's where it begins. And it walks you through where we are today, right? Here's what happened. I can't change it. We take it from I'm damaged, I'm hurt, I'm alone, I'm no good, to it's what happened, right? And now I can heal, and now I can become the inner child that I've always wanted to be, right?
Yeah, inner child. Can you maybe like share more about what that was like for you? Just connecting with that inner child.
So some of us, me, we didn't get to have those childhoods. We had, for me, I had to grow up at an early age, right? Like, mom and dad always worked, right? They had to work to put food on the table, right? So I was home alone with my siblings, and we would all have to make sure that we were taken care of, and we were fed, and we were cleaning, and we were doing stuff, right? So for most of my life, I never got to have that childhood, right? That now I give my daughter, right? Like, she doesn't have a care in the world, right? She doesn't have to take care of anybody. She doesn't have to do anything. She gets to just be a child.
Yeah.
Right. For some of us, we didn't have that. And now I do. Right. So that inner child has been able to heal and finally come out for me.
Yeah. It takes a while, doesn't it?
It does, you know, because, you know, here's the thing. Like, I love my parents, right? And they did a really good job raising me with the best tools they knew how to raise me. Was it the best? No. Was it the worst? No. Right.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. Could have been better. Right. But all we can do is what we know how to do. Right. So that's how I heal. Right. I can only do what I can do, and I can only get better if I learn how to be.
Yeah, for those who are wondering, like, man, there's something going on with me. I can tell, like, there's something that's not right. And they're looking for help. This could be anyone. Like, I'm not just talking about veterans, first responders right now. Those who are, yeah, like, they're longing for something that will connect them to something higher, to others, to, like, reconnect with that inner child, with, like you were saying, like, the ability to just be, like, to be present and not, you know, yeah, not just bogged down by life all the time. What would you recommend for this person? Because, you know, Save a Warrior, everyone can do that, you know.
Right. I guess the first thing is like you said, like, admitting that there's something there, right? Admitting that I went through something traumatic. I went through something bad, right? And then that's the first step, right? Is admitting it and coming to terms with it, right? And then seeking out help, right? Mm-hmm. And the big thing is you have to want the change, right? Because a lot of, at least for me, I wanted the change, right? But I didn't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. Right. Until I got to the point where, you know, a bullet was easier than doing the work. Until I took that first step, right? Yeah. Taking that first step and finding, you can find it anywhere. You just have to Google it, right? We live in a society where everything's right at our fingertips,
mm-hmm.
you know? Figure out what it is that you're looking to be, right? What you're looking to heal, what you want out of life, and search for that. But the first part of that is searching for that within yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't change your surroundings until you change yourself, right? So that's where it comes first. You've got to want that change for yourself. Like, I didn't want to be angry anymore. I didn't want to be an alcoholic anymore. I didn't want to do drugs anymore, right? Because it was making me worse.
Right.
And so I had to make myself better first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of that was giving back and helping others.
Yeah.
So find those things that you want to change and be part of that change.
Yeah. It's easier to distract, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the struggle every human being has.
Right. Yeah. Me you too. Know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, at some point you have to recognize, like, the change I want to see, it's not going to just happen. It's not going to just be given to me. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And no one's coming to save you. Right.
Yeah.
The only person that can save you is you. Right. See, because after Save a Warrior, I got a divorce. I lost my house. I lost my child. I lost my job. You know, I had lost everything. The old me would have just spiraled out of control, right?
Yeah.
And instead, I got on the phone and I called those guys, right? And I talked to them. And I didn't want to be where I was, right? I wanted a house. I wanted a car. I wanted all those things back. So I worked at it, right? I changed my mindset to where I'm not worth it. I can't do it. And nobody loves me anymore, right? And I changed that to everybody loves me. And all I have to do is put in the elbow grease. I did it once. I can do it again. Right. And I did it. And now I own a nice house on a 2-acre property. I've got a huge garden, chickens. I got a new house. I got a new car. You know, it's possible.
Yeah.
You just have to change that mindset.
Yeah. And you have to, it's a constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a constant reminder of, those negative thoughts aren't just going to go away the moment you resolve to change your mindset, right?
Right.
Like, it's a continual battle.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you engage with it, your mindset will start to change, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I have conversations with myself all the time, right? Like, I used to be like, man, you're stupid. You're stupid for doing that, right? You did that to yourself, right? And then once I changed that mindset to, you made a bad decision, right? It's okay. That's how we grow, right? It's a bad decision. Now we know not to do that, right? And now we know if we do this, this happens, right?
Yeah.
So the part that was hard for me was being easy on myself. Once I started being easy on myself and really talking to myself and saying, hey, you know, that was just a bad decision. You're not stupid. You're not worthless. You're not any of those things. It's just what happened. It's just a mistake. And that's okay.
Yeah. Did you find the more you were treating yourself in that way, like with grace, with gentleness, that you started to treat other people that way too?
Yes. Yes. Because I used to hate everybody. I used to say that all the time. I don't just hate you. I hate everybody.
Right.
Right. And that was just a way of me keeping everybody away, right?
Right.
Because I didn't want anybody near me, because I didn't want to lose anybody else, right? I'm working on it, but abandonment issues with that, right? So I never allowed anybody close to me, anybody. Now that's changed, right? Like, now I realize that there are people that come into your life and they're there. And some of them are for a season and for a reason, mm-hmm. and some are there for life, and they're there to teach you stuff, right? And they'll love you. And either way that they exit out of my life is okay, because as long as I'm treating them the way I treat myself, with love and affection and being authentic, mm-hmm. then it's okay, right? Yeah. I realize it's not me anymore. Right. It's just what happened for them, and they had to go, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's hard to, I think a lot of people will relate to this. It's hard to change the way you look at yourself, the way you treat yourself.
Right.
Like, these things are so ingrained in us, like mm-hmm. really, really deeply negative thinking and just self-hatred and beating up on ourselves. But I hear you saying that through belonging, like through connecting with others, even when like that's the last thing you want to do, mm-hmm. allowing yourself to be with others, to intentionally be part of a community, like in this case of other guys who went through what you did, that was the catalyst, experiencing that love, that authenticity, really.
Right. Now I love being around people. Yeah. I love meeting new people. I love talking to new people, because a lot of my thought process was, I just want to be alone, right? And in my healing, realizing that we're not meant to do this world alone. We're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to be alone.
Yeah.
We're meant to be with others.
Yeah.
And that's changed my whole outlook on life and my life in general.
Yeah.
Because the people that come into my life now are people like myself. And there are people that aren't good people that come into my life. And those people weed themselves out when they realize that, you know, through my boundaries and through how authentic I am, that their negativity isn't going to work in my world, right? Mm-hmm. And so they move on and they weed themselves out. I don't have to do it anymore. They weed themselves out. And the people that are left and the people that are still in my life are some amazing people.
Yeah.
So tell me a little more about what Save a Warrior is doing now.
So we went from a week to 72 hours. Mm-hmm. So they have fine-tuned everything to give that experience, right, of healing in a more compact, powerful 72 hours. So that was one of the big changes. Another change was they were given, there's a new, I forget what it's called. You got to forgive me here. Center of Excellence that was paid for by numerous donors and I should know them, but I don't. But it's a facility that not only houses the men and women that go there for the 72 hours, but it allows them to not worry about food, not worry about a roof, not worry about how they're going to get someplace. Everything is on site, and everything is carefree for them. In that moment, it's all about them, and it's all about healing, right? Now, with this new facility that we have, we're able to do twice as many cohorts. And a cohort is the group that comes in for the healing during that 72 hours.
Okay.
So they're able to do more now and reach more people. And it's only getting bigger, right? So that's pretty much where it's at with that. I mean, they're the ability for them to reach more and do more is only getting bigger and better.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, for anyone who is listening to this, and either they themselves or they know someone who wants to get in touch, what would you say?
I would say you can either contact me, you know, or you can go to saveawarrior.org and they can submit an application. And the biggest thing is you have to be ready, right? And open, right? Drug-free, alcohol-free. And if you're not, we have programs that will get you there, that will help, and people will help you get there before you get to the program.
Okay.
So that would be the thing, and hitting that submit button and being ready and being open to the possibility of possibilities.
For those who are not so sure, for those who don't want to take the plunge, what would you say?
I would say that me too. Like, it's scary, right? We all get to that point to where we know we have to change and there's things that we have to do, and it's okay that you're not there right now. Mm. It's okay. But when you get to that point and you're ready for a change and you want to change, look it up.
Yeah.
And until then, you know, keep trying, right? Keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about the change. And just remember that you're not alone. We're not alone. Even though we got out, we don't have our buddies that, you know, to our left and right, we're all still out there. And we don't have to do this alone. And everyone gets to the point where they're ready. And until that point, it's okay, right? It's okay to not be there. But when you are, we're here.
Yeah. Well, Abel, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your story, talking about Save a Warrior. Yeah, it sounds like they do fantastic work. And yeah, it was an honor to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me spread the word. It really means a lot to me, because I've been there at my lowest point, to where I didn't have anything or anybody. Yeah. And so it means a lot to me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, for anyone listening, we will have information for Save a Warrior on the website, thelastlions.net. And a way for those who want to get in touch with Abel. So yeah, Abel, thanks for being on.
Thank you. I appreciate you.